But hey, let's pray and we're going to get into it. So Father, we love you and we just thank you for the opportunity to hear your word today. Lord, I pray for everybody that's just come in today and maybe they're stressed out or burdened or confused or just got a lot of things going on their plate. Father, that we could just set it aside, come into your presence and hear your word and be encouraged by you, Lord, to be convicted by it, to be instructed, to be taught. And we love you, Lord. We just thank you for all your blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 15. You know, some of you guys don't remember, but when we started the church actually started in Toledo on Main Street. How many of you guys remember that? And in Toledo and Main Street, we were actually right next door to the bar. So you guys know where Timbers is, right? And to make it worse or better, I don't know how, it depends on how you look at it, we would have church service on Friday nights. And so Friday nights, they would be next door over there pounding, well, nobody's drinking Bud Light anymore because they were drinking, and then they would come over during our church service, because church service was like at what, 7 o'clock at night? And they would come over and they were wasted by that time. And they would come and sit in. And I remember this two guys came in on our service and they had just finished smoking their cigarettes outside and they came in and they put 20 bucks in the offering. And we thought, man, that's pretty good because see, nobody had given anything more than $5 a week. And so that was like a big plus for us. And after he put the 20 bucks in, he asked us to do a song request of AC/DC. And he's like, hey, could you guys sing AC/DC for me? And I just put in 20 bucks in the offering. And I was like, no. And keep in mind, I'm teaching and this is all going on. And I'm like, you know, we're not really into karaoke. We're definitely not going to be singing AC/DC. And he just kind of sat back there quietly for a little bit. And then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, God doesn't love anybody but the Jews. And I thought, man, that's a horrible statement to think that God would favor any man because of their nationality or skin color or anything. But he honestly believed it. And he said, he just doesn't. And there's this contention in Acts as we've been going that we're seeing this fight happen between Gentiles and Jews on how to be saved. And a lot of this has to do with like legalism and rules and stuff. And the first 15 chapters of Acts is dealing with a lot of these issues of how do you be saved? And now after we get through Acts chapter 15, this is going to be a settled deal, and we're not going to be addressing it too much more. In fact, we're not even going to be seeing Peter anymore after this. But this idea of how to get saved is very present, and there's a lot of fighting and there's a lot of arguments in it. And you know, sometimes people are like, I just want to get back to the way church was in Acts, because it was so pure and organic, but it had a lot of problems, didn't it? And the reason why it had a lot of problems is because it had people, and people create problems, and there's problems in every church. You know, I thank God that our church is, you know, being that it is small, our problems are small. So the bigger the church, the bigger the problems. And the church is blowing out, so they've got all these problems going on, and they're fighting, and they're tearing each other apart about should somebody get circumcised, should somebody not get circumcised, should they hold the law or not hold the law, all the while they all believe in Jesus. But how many of you guys know, I mean, we're going to fight with fellow Christians, right? But it's not if we're going to fight, it's how do we deal with it when we start fighting with each other? How do we handle it? And so we're going to see a lot of that in Acts chapter 15. So in Acts chapter 15, we see Paul has gone back from his first missionary journey. Do you guys got that up there on the screen? So this is Paul's first missionary journey. He completes that and he goes back to this place called Antioch. And in chapter 15, verse 1, as Paul's in Antioch, he's talking to the other pastors and the people there, and he's telling them about all his travels. He's like, man, you wouldn't believe it. There was this guy named Bar-Jesus. He got in our way and I blinded him. And then there was this crippled guy and we healed him. And then after that, they thought we were gods and they tried to stone me. Do you guys remember Paul getting stoned to death? And he left there and he kept preaching the gospel. So now that first missionary trip is over. And as they're over, there's a group that comes up from Jerusalem saying that everything Paul said was wrong and everybody he led to the Lord is still going to hell. And so Paul's going to get up in their face and they're going to have a big problem with this, him and Barnabas. And he's about ready to take them all on over this issue because grace plus zero equals salvation, right? Nothing adds to our salvation but grace. And this is what this is going to be about. And this is so important for us to get, for me to get, for me to remember. Because as I told you guys, the more we walk with Christ, it seems like the more legalistic we can become. And so Paul's going to be dealing with this issue head on. So in verse 1, it says, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you're circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you will not be saved." So they're saying if you've actually accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you really meant it, if you're really sincere about it, then you got to keep the Mosaic Law, the five books of the Bible. You got to keep sacrificing lambs. You got to keep up with the ceremonial law. You got to keep eating food that's kosher. And so you would have a Jew sitting across from a Gentile at like lunchtime. And the Gentile would be, you know, and who's a Gentile? Yeah, we are. And we would be eating like a BLT. And the Jew would be looking at us like, man, Jason would be so much holier if he would just put that BLT down. If he gets that sandwich out of his mouth, he's going to be so good. He's going to be on point. And so there is this problem, and they're going back and forth saying, if you hold to these laws, if you're really serious about it, you're going to get circumcised because you're going to come into that covenant that God made with his people and with Abraham. And I think it's important to remember, you guys, that some of us, do you know anybody that's a Christian and you just don't agree with them doctrinally? Like sometimes we say, you know, I love the Catholics, but maybe I don't agree with everything they agree with. And they would say, we don't agree with everything Protestants agree with. And I think it's important, or Lutherans or Methodists. And I think it's important that we have our foundational issues that were set in stone. Like, how are we saved? By grace, through faith. That's it. Grace plus zero equals what? Salvation. That's it. So if we can agree on that, we're good. But outside of that, we have things that we need to deal with up front and hash out. And that's what Paul's dealing with because this is really important to him. And so Paul, these guys are coming up to this church that Paul started in Antioch. And he's telling all the people in Antioch what Paul did here. You guys aren't saved. And Paul gets up. It's like somebody coming into this church and telling me, Jason, you're teaching your people falsehood. Man, I'd be like, you better get out of here. Because like I got Randall up there. He'll drag you out. Like you're crazy. And I would be upset because I labor hard in the word for you guys and for me to, so we know the truth. And then for somebody to come in and say, hey, you're not teaching the word of God. It would break my heart. And these guys are saying, hey, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. And there's an awkward conversation going on. But Paul has the awkward conversation with them. And just because it's awkward, he doesn't stop talking to them about it. Now, when there's a situation in your life that's awkward with somebody else that you know, are you the type of person that addresses it or you kind of sweep it under the rug because you don't want to deal with it? Which person are you? You don't want to address it, so you sweep it under the rug. You don't like conflict. How about you do want to bring it out? You do want conflict resolution. And so you're willing to have those awkward talks. And you know what? It's a reminder to us just because we have awkward situations in our life, we need to talk about them with the people that we love and not sweep this stuff under the rug. If something's going on, and I love Vicky for this because she will tell me my faults and what's going on. And if it's awkward, she lays it out. She's never been the type to run away from an awkward conversation with her husband. And in marriage, there's going to be times where you guys are going through some things and you're going to have to take a moment and have those awkward conversations with each other and deal with it. You know, it could be a lot of things where sometimes as husbands we get distant and we don't realize it, you know? We don't realize that we're neglecting our wives. We don't realize that we're not present even though we're there. You know, you can be at home all the time with your wife and she'd never see you. And the same thing with your husband. You know, there's things that you know, I know that wives want to talk about all the time. And sometimes that's good and sometimes I wonder because, you know, the Bible does say the fool vents everything that's in his heart. So like if you got a problem with the toothpaste or the toilet paper rolling a certain way or maybe a spoon in the sink or something like that, or the socks on the floor, you know, pray about it before you bring about everything. But there's going to be awkward conversations that we got to have with people, even at work. You know, we go to work and then they're trying to cut our hours or maybe they're treating you different because you love the Lord. Maybe they want you to lie. You know, you go to work and your manager wants you to lie about stuff. And you're like, I love Jesus. I don't want to lie. I don't want to be in this position. And I got to have this awkward conversation with you or with our kids. You know, you find something in their bedroom or you hear something. You're like, man, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to deal with this. Listen, when something's going sideways in our relationships, like what we see here, what Paul does is he hits it straight on. And he says, you know what? I don't want to sweep this under the rug. I want to deal with it and deal with it lovingly. This isn't to see who can scream the loudest or punch the hardest or any of that stuff. This is about coming together, working our differences out in love and trying to move forward through it all. And so Paul, he's having this discussion with them about circumcision. And in verse 3, Paul and Barnabas are going to load up their VW bus and they're like, we're out of here. We're going to go back to Jerusalem and hash this out with the apostles. Because as you guys know, right now, Antioch is the church headquarters for the church. However, the apostles are back in Jerusalem and they've got their little clique going on over there. And so Paul's like, you know what? We're going to go straight to the source. How are people saved? Is it by, and it's not by circumcision too, by the way, because you know, sometimes I think people can hear that. It's first of all, it's awkward to preach about. But second, it's like when you hear it, you're like, oh, that doesn't apply to me or whatever. This applies to you working for your salvation. This applies to you that grace isn't good enough in your life. This applies to you that the finished work of Christ on the cross isn't finished in your life. This applies to you that, listen, grace plus zero equals salvation with God. Why? Because of Jesus. That's what this is about. This is what this whole thing's about. And so in chapter 15, it's like, this is the middle of the book, but it has to get worked out right now before the church goes any farther. So Paul and Barnabas pack up. They bail back down to Jerusalem. It says in verse 3, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And so the apostles welcomed them. They go down in verse 4. It says, and when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things God had done through them. And so when they get down to Jerusalem, that's where the heavy hitters are. James, Peter, Andrew, they're all down there. And what happens? They listen to their complaint. When Paul and Barnabas show up, they welcome them and they say, hey, what's happening? And I was thinking about how oftentimes when somebody comes to us and we're so busy with so many different things that we got going on, do we actually just stop everything, hit the brakes and say, what's happening with you? Like, I want to hear what's going on with you. What's happening in your life? Because, you know, it's so easy to hear things. Right? I mean, just to kind of like hear, but you don't listen. You're hearing because you're looking at what you can say after they're done speaking. You're not listening because you want to know what's going on in their life. You're listening because you want to get your point in as soon as they're done. And I was thinking that's why God did give us two ears and one mouth. Think about that for a second. Why didn't he give us two mouths and one ear in your forehead? That'd be crazy. He could have done it. You could have been walking around with an ear in your forehead and two mouths like Picasso. But he wants us to listen twice as much as we're speaking. And it's a good thing that, you know, when someone's coming to us about an issue that's really pressing in their life, you guys, especially you guys, us, we need to take the time and say, okay, I'm not going to go into blah, 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 blah mode. I'm going to sit and listen and plug in. And that's what these guys do. They say, hey, Paul, what's going on? What's happening in Antioch? And Paul is going to give them all that's happening with these Jews coming up and starting trouble about the work that Paul's done. And so in verse 5, it says that, but some, and this is after the church accepts Paul and Barnabas, and they're talking it out. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, so they're Christians. When we read this, these guys are saved, but they're messed up. They don't understand the grace of God. They don't understand how the blood of Christ could be sufficient. Something else has to happen for it to all come together, to work out. We can't just possibly be forgiven because Christ died on the cross. And that's exactly the gospel. It's so hard for them to get, but it's so hard for you to get too. There's times in our lives where this has not died in us. And we're like trying to understand and grasp the concept of the love of God, that before I had done anything, I mean, I was dead in my sin and transgressions, and Jesus died for me. And then it seems like we've got to do a bunch of stuff for him. And that's where these guys are at. And it says in verse 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law. And so they rise up, and when Paul talks about what God is doing by grace, they rise up and they say that these people are not saved. And so these are Christians who believed in Jesus, but also believed in the law. And it's a sad place to live like that because you don't have assurance. And they say, these guys can't be saved unless. Could you imagine? Now, look, we're reading this and we're going through it, but do you know the implications on if this didn't get worked out with legalism and works and Christianity and Christ, what we would be singing and worship today? How about, you know, our songs would be like, Amazing Circumcision, right? How sharp I hope that blade be. You know, what can take away our sins? Nothing but the blood and a whole bunch of rules. And it would have been like that. And we would be singing this garbage. And so it's got to get worked out. And, you know, not only I think it's, you know, important that we don't get caught up in legalism, but we got to make sure that people don't put their legalism on us. Because, you know, there's a lot of that going where, you know, sometimes people will tell me, oh, man, you know, Pastor Jason, I saw, you know, so-and-so's Instagram pic and they're drinking wine. I'm like, oh, that's it. I mean, they're dead now. Like, the hope is over. Or, you know, I saw him here, or I saw him at this place, and, you know, and they were wearing these clothes, or they were wearing a Garth Brooks T-shirt, and I'm just worried about their soul. But there's something about legalism, I think, that's attractive, and it's this. When we get wrapped up into doing and living a life of legalism, the thing that's attractive is that when we do certain things, we can get the credit for it. I did it. And it feels good that when I do things that I get credit because everybody wants to be acknowledged. You know, the moms, you guys clean the house. The kids mess it up 5 minutes later. You clean the house. Your husband comes home. It's nice. It's clean. You're taking care of the babies. You want to be acknowledged. You know, the husband goes to work. He's trying to provide. He's trying to be a good man. He's trying to do the right things. He's trying to have, you know, purity in and out of the, you know, secret. And it's like, you want to be acknowledged and you want to hear your wife say, I'm proud of you. I love you. You know, and there's this acknowledgement, because when we do, we can take credit for certain things. And it feels good to get that credit. And like, we look at God and we're like, God, I just want you to praise me. I just want you to, you know, look at what I'm doing and how I'm doing it for you. And I want you to be stoked about it. But it's not about what we do for God. It's about what God has done for us. And we can't take any credit about it. You know, when people are like, you know, I don't listen to anything but K-Love. I'm not going to listen to that old classic rock and roll devil stuff. I ain't going to let, you know, no country music for this kid. It's all going to be K-Love. And K-Love never plays any new songs. Did you guys know that? It's on repeat. It's on repeat for like 5 years. So, hey, and it's a pledge drive. So call them up and just tell them to get some new songs. But it makes it hard to listen because it's always the same old stuff, man. Even the Lord said, sing unto me a new song. Good Lord, K-Love, if you're listening. So they're walking in legalism. These Pharisees who believe in Jesus. And by the way, walking in legalism works for a period of time. So when you're walking with Christ and you say, I'm going to put up these rules and I'm going to do this. And by the way, if you walk out of here and you're thinking I'm giving you an excuse to go out and sin, you're going the whole opposite wrong direction. And we're going to get into that. But the idea of having legalism and I'm going to do this and I'm going to have this in place and I'm going to make sure that that never happens again and this ain't going to happen again in my life. And I got all these rules, I got all these regulations. And you'll live like that for how long? How long do you live like that when you set up the rules and you put them around your life? How long does it last? Max, 4 weeks? If you're lucky. And then what happens? Boom, boom, boom. You trip up, you fall, and then guess where you're walking after that? In condemnation. And then you're walking around and you're living in condemnation instead of the love of God, who's got grace for you, who died for you, and said it's grace plus zero equals salvation because I love you. And yet we set these things up and it's only temporary. And instead, what we need to do, and this is so important, we got to do what Jesus said because he wrote the book. And he's like, listen, take my yoke upon you because it's easy. And so, you know, God's not trying to put a yoke on us that we can't handle. We need to follow the Lord. That's it. It's no harder. It's no simpler than just follow Jesus. And you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to work all that junk out of you. Whatever it is in me. And the reason why he works it out is, one, because he loves us, he gives us grace, and the more that we walk with him, the more we know him, and we become like him. But you know what? We look at Acts, and we look at the life of Peter, we look at Paul, we look at all these guys, and we're like, Jason, these guys got it so figured out. I mean, look at what happened. Paul got knocked down, he got saved, he transformed the world in like five, you know, paragraphs. There's a time frame of over like 40, 50, 60 years. But we're seeing the highlight reels. And that's something we're comparing our life to. And we're like, dang, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm messed up because I read the Bible and these guys have got it all worked out, but I'm still a flunky. It's time and grace. And these guys are coming to him and they say, hey, these guys need to do this. And then they're going to be saved. Watch what happens now after this happens. Check out verse 6. Peter's going to stand up. And by the way, we're about ready to finish out with Peter. But we're not going to see Peter again. Not here. Because the book of Acts, once all of this garbage gets worked out, about people not understanding the love of God and the sacrifice and the finished work of the cross. Once this all gets figured out by chapter, it's 15 chapters of having to go over the same message, the same problem, of salvation and the finished work of Christ. Once this is settled in 15, boom, we're going to be moving on to some other things. But Peter's an important figure. And Peter's going to step up in verse 6 and check it out. This is what Peter says. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them. Now, when it says that there has been much dispute, these guys, there's no kind of fight like a Christian fight. Christians know how to, it's gnarly. And because not only is it emotional, but then it gets all spiritual. You know, if you were really saved, you wouldn't have said that to me. And if you were really saved, you know, and you get start hashing it out and you're bringing God into the picture and all this other weird stuff. And these Middle Easterners, have you ever seen them argue before? It's the same thing today. They're at it hardcore. And there's no small discussion. They're about ready to throw down on this. And in the midst of all of this fighting and in the midst of all of this arguing, Peter says, so he said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us by my mouth that the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he had given to us, and made no distinction between us and them, and purifying their hearts by faith. And so Peter, right here, as he's actually talking about when he went to Cornelius. You remember Cornelius, the centurion who was a Gentile, and Peter, it was Peter that goes to Cornelius, and he had that vision of, like, you know, pork short ribs and lobster and all that stuff coming down, and it was all filthy. And Peter was like, man, I'm not going to touch any of that food, which was crazy. You know someone's wrong when they don't want bacon or lobster or shrimp, and they're just like, that's nasty. And that was Peter's idea of people, that just as those filthy animals were coming down, the Gentiles were just as nasty. And Peter said, those guys are filthy. And so he says, but God has made no distinction between them and us. And you know what that shows me about Peter? Is he's actually come a long way. You remember we're talking about grace. Peter started out rough. And he's still kind of messed up right here. And, you know, we'll probably get into some of that later on down the road. But the one thing that we see in Peter is God is working this stuff out in his time. And he's accepting the Gentiles at this point. And you know what's interesting to me about this, though, is because when Peter steps up, let me see where this was at. And Paul's there in this meeting. I was wondering, if I was Paul, what Peter was going to say. And the reason why is because if you read the second chapter in Galatians, Peter had come up to see Paul previously in Antioch. And when Peter went up to go see Paul previously in Antioch, he was like in Paul's turf. He was on Paul's side of the street in Antioch. They're not in Jerusalem. Peter goes up to see him. And this is what happened when Peter went up to see Paul the last time they saw each other. And this is why I wonder, when Paul's sitting there and Peter gets up and Paul's wondering, I wonder if he's going to lay into me. Because this is what happened in Galatia. It says, but when Peter had come to Antioch, this is Paul speaking about Peter. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. For what he was doing was wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with Gentiles who were not circumcised. But afterwards, some friends came of James, and Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of the circumcision for the people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. And as a result, the other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. Even Barnabas was led astray. We know Barnabas. Barney's cool, right? He's been going around. Not here. He's like them filthy Gentiles. Why? Because Peter's got a lot of pull. And so Paul gets in his face and he's like, you're a stinking hypocrite. You're out of your stinking mind. You're trying to hang out with this group. And as soon as, you know, the Pharisees come in, they're dirty again. And so Peter gets rebuked by Paul. And so now Paul is wondering what's going on. But you know what? Peter does the right thing and he gets up. And he doesn't say, okay, Paul, now you're in Jerusalem. Now you're here with us. And this is the way this is going to go down. He was humble about getting rebuked. And he said, man, you know what? Paul's right. How do you do when somebody rebukes you? You know, it's like we all say, oh, we need correction. We want to be corrected. But as soon as somebody corrects us, they're jerks, they're creeps. They don't listen. They don't understand. They got more issues than I do. I shouldn't listen to them. But you know what? What's Peter do? He listens to him. And he's like, man, God shows no distinction, which is interesting because we know Peter had distinction between them and Gentiles. They wouldn't eat with them. They'd burn their clothes if they touched them. They prayed to God every day. They gave thanks that they weren't born a Gentile or a woman. I mean, there was a bunch of distinctions. But now, because of Christ, Peter gets up and he says, hey, listen, God is bringing all of us together. And so look at this. We're going to close out with this last verse, verse 10. And this is very cool what Peter does. He says, now, therefore, why do you test God by putting on a yoke of the neck of these disciples, which neither our fathers nor us were able to bear? But we believe that through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this section right here. You know, when he addresses everybody and he's saying, listen, you guys are putting a yoke. You're putting, you know, and we know what a yoke is, right? That harness that a cow would wear to steer it, right? You put a yoke on it and it goes that certain way. And so Peter tells him, he said, you know, you're trying to put this yoke, you're trying to steer these new believers by all these rules. You know, don't do this, don't do that, do this and do that. But, and this is why I love Peter right here, because he gets up and he says, we're the apostles. And we don't keep the rules. And he's and when you look at the history of Israel, you guys, they were miserable at keeping the rules. Then why did God give them? To show you can't keep them. To show you that you need a Savior. That I need a Savior. Because I can't keep it. I can't do it. And that's the whole point. And so when he's saying to him, he's like, don't put this yoke on him. And I want to encourage you guys, don't put a yoke on somebody. Don't make their walk with Christ harder. You know, point them to Jesus. Point them to walking with the Lord. But we do put yokes on people. We set up boundaries. Why? Because we hate people? No, because we love people. That's the problem. And that's the problem. You know, we tell people in Christianity, what are some things? Don't drink. And you'll hear that a lot. And there's reasons for that. You'll hear that a lot from the pulpit. But when you look at like wine and stuff like that in the Bible, it was a blessing God gave. And did you know that when Jesus Christ returns, he's bringing wine? And yet we tell people, you can't drink. Why? Because we love them. We don't want them to be alcoholics. I saw my mom die of all that garbage. My grandma died from that. People in my family, I mean, it's just, you look at people and you're thinking, man, is drinking the problem? No, that's not the problem. Being an alcoholic is going to destroy your walk with the Lord and destroy your life. Do you remember in the 50s when in the 50s they would say, oh, you don't play no cards. You know, sometimes they'd come over, hey, let's play some pinochle. Oh, you don't play no pinochle. Because that's of the devil. And the reason why it's of the devil is because if you play cards, then you're going to end up at Chinook Winds and you're going to lose your whole entire, you know, everything. And then you're going to jump out a window. So don't be playing no pinochle or Uno. Don't watch that movie. Don't listen to that music. Don't go to that place. Don't eat that food. But you know what? We have liberties in Jesus that are for real true blessings, that if we don't idolize them, you know, we can walk in that freedom in Christ, following him. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I want to leave you with this thought, that when we're walking in grace, listen to this. When we're walking in grace, it's not a license to sin, but it's a tool to grow. Remember that. Man, that was so good. It's a tool to grow closer to the Lord. And you know what? That's really freedom. When the Lord said that whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed, do you know that's what freedom looks like when you're not bound up in addiction no more? When you're not bound up in all that stuff you had to do all the time that you were doing it? But yet you can enjoy life and Jesus and the church and growing in him and walking with him apart from all this legalism garbage. And the point of this is that grace is not a license to sin, but it's a reason to grow. And now, as we get through this, we're going to see this church growing like fire. And I promise you guys, if you keep coming through the book of Acts, your mind's going to be blown by what you see. And I'm not just trying to hype you out to get you back here because I don't like that stuff. I know how to do it, but I don't like doing it. But I'm telling you right now, what's about to happen from here on out is going to be insane. Would you guys stand with me? Let's pray. We're going to take communion and we're going to praise the Lord this morning. We're going to take communion. We're going to worship the Lord in this last worship song. Thank you, Brian, for helping us. Oliver, they're going to pass out communion for you guys. You know, and as we're taking communion, I think it's so important that as we're closing this out, man, look at it. Look at it when you're taking communion. And I want you to think about what Jesus said when he said, it's finished. It's over. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your past sins, your present sins. But Jesus, Jason, what about tomorrow? Your tomorrow sins, your tomorrow sins are forgiven. And I want you to take that communion and I just want you to think about what Jesus said when he said it's finished. And that's why it's good news. Can you grasp that for your life? Can you believe it? Can you own it today? And if you do, it'll change your life and it will stoke a fire and a love for Christ like you've never had before. That he died for us. He paid all of our sins. Forever we're clean before the Lord. Forever, because of what we're partaking in today. So Father, we just humbly come before you this morning with a heart of gratitude, thanksgiving, restored hope. Lord, joy in our heart for the sacrifice of the finished work of the cross, your death, your burial, your resurrection. And as we take communion this morning, Father, we just give you praise for that. We acknowledge that. We accept it. We believe it. Believe it. Father, I pray over the church today as we're taking communion that they own what you did, that they own it. There's nothing more to do. There's nothing more to give. There's nothing more we can add to it. It's over. It's finished. You did it all. And we can celebrate it right here and now. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.